choir for leading us in this expression of worship on this Mother's Day. Thank the Lord for you being here, because it wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. And we thank God for everything. Amen. Today I want to share with you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 4. It was our scripture reading this day, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'll be dealing with this in its entirety. It deals with the temptation of Jesus after he was baptized by John. I just want to lift up this phrase in verse 11 as a thought for today. And that is, then the devil left him. Then the devil left him. And I want to preach around the idea, do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. Then the devil left him. In any endeavor, it's really important that you have a good start. Because how you start can set the tone to how you will do. First impressions mean a whole lot. And if you don't have a good first impression, you may not have an opportunity for another impression. And Jesus, he's now ready to start his public ministry, but instead of an installation service, instead of an inaugural celebration, instead of a ministry launch party, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a desert place to be tempted by Diablo, the devil, the one who falsely accuses and unjustly criticizes. That's the devil. And we all know that the devil's purpose is to destroy relationships with God and other people. Don't let the devil use you. That's the devil. And we all know that the devil's purpose is to come against those that love God in order to attack God. The Bible says that the kleptis, or the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into a desert place to be tempted by the devil. And the obvious question is, why? While we're praying that God gets us out of trouble, or leads us around trouble, God led Jesus into trouble. This deserted place and his assignment was not Jesus' idea. He would not have chose this for himself. And maybe that's why the Bible had to point out that it was the leading of the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus to this place. On this occasion, the Holy Spirit is really acting like a coach, because a coach knows what to put you through in order to pull the best out of you. Amen, somebody. A coach knows how to prepare you for the assignment ahead. A coach knows how much pressure to put you under in order to build you up, not merely to break you down. Oftentimes, a coach sees the potential in us when we can't see it in ourselves and encourages us to do and be better. But the thing with the coach is that they know how to motivate us to do things we know are good for us, but yet we don't have the willpower to do it anyway. They know how to get you to run one more mile. They know how to get you to do one more rep. They know how to get you to study just one more minute. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. He's like a coach that sees the best in us and knows how to motivate us to do the hard thing even when we couldn't do it on our own. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into a desert place to be tempted by the devil. It wasn't Jesus' idea. In fact, he'd rather not do it, but it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. But wherever God guides, he also provides. And no matter how bad you think it is, if God sent you there, then God will make provisions for your survival. Amen. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness so that he could model for us how to overcome the schemes of the devil and how to handle the trappings of this world. Those trappings of the world, those things that are fleeting that the world entices us with, promises that it will fulfill us with fame and fortune. You see, the temptations of Jesus mimics the trials and disobedience that Israel faced when God led them into the wilderness for 40 years. The Israelites demanded bread to eat in the wilderness. They doubted the Lord's presence in the wilderness. They experienced despair in the wilderness, and it was their lack of faith that kept them walking around in the wilderness. But Jesus didn't respond with skepticism, but he responded with unwavering faith. The text says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. This verse shows the dualistic nature of Jesus' divinity and humanity. It's the reality of God walking on earth as Jesus supernaturally went without food for 40 days, and yet after 40 days without food, it says that he was hungry. This is the miraculous revelation of God indwelling the mundane. For surely God gives evidence that he lives in us as we experience his supernatural power in our own lives. Those things that sustain us beyond reason and yet still will confirm our own humanity. And some of you know what I'm talking about because truth be told, you shouldn't be here today, but God intervened on your behalf. The doctor said time was up, but you've experienced the power of God in your life because you're still here. And yet you still got to take your medicine. You've experienced financial setback and lost some things because of it, and yet God still provides for your every need. But that doesn't mean that you can now be physically irresponsible. God has sustained us beyond reason and at the same time confirms our humanity and need for him. Jesus, in the same way, was continually manifesting his divinity and humanity when he walked on water 1 minute and then cried out the next, "I'm thirsty." When he fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but then became angry at a fig tree that didn't bear fruit when he was hungry himself. When the one who could sense what the people around him were thinking, but in another minute asked the question, "What do you want from me?" We see over and over again the dualistic nature of Jesus' divinity and his humanity. And in the same way, we experience God's indwelling in our own mundane lives. And we see after his 40-day fast, Jesus was hungry. And that was when the devil came to tempt him. On one hand, this is when the devil tries to tempt us when we are the most vulnerable. It only makes sense that the devil would try to tempt Jesus when he was the weakest, but the truth of the matter is, this was also the time that Jesus should have been the strongest because he came down off of a spiritual, supernatural fast. He was up on the mountaintop with God because he couldn't sustain his own life. God had to sustain it for him. I know it says he was hungry, but it should have been the time where he was also the strongest. And that's what complicates things more. Is that's because we have experienced the divine in our own lives. We sometimes forget about our humanity and think that we are God instead of just being God-like. You need God in order to be God-like. You can't be God-like apart from God. And I know that sounds rather simplistic, but not only will the tempter come when you're most vulnerable, but he'll also build you up so that you forget when you're weak. That's really when you are the strongest. Just because God got you over doesn't mean you can now get yourself over apart from God. The scripture says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It doesn't say that I can do all things. There's a difference between being God and being God-like. When you say something is like something else, that means there's some similarities. It doesn't mean that they are the exact same thing. You have to understand that to be like Jesus means that Jesus is the model and the ideal that we are to aspire to. But you have to know that you may be like Jesus in some ways, but no one on earth is the savior of the universe but Jesus Christ. Now, that should relieve some of you today. That should deliver some of you today. So while you're trying to be like Jesus, you can't save nobody, but I know somebody who can. Don't get caught up believing your own hype that you got to save the whole world. You just got enough grace to save yourself. All you can do is introduce somebody else to someone who can help them in their time of need. Talk about how bad other people are, but don't ever forget that you need some work done on you as well. You may be Christ-like, but you ain't the Savior. Sometimes God blesses us in such miraculous ways and sustains us beyond our own imagination. We forget that it was really He who did it, and we think we did it ourselves. And that's when the devil will creep in, because you think more highly of yourself than you should. Sometimes our success can be our own downfall. Jesus started His ministry not in glorious ministry launch, but instead He decided to confront the issues that people faced that discouraged them for either following God or stayed the course after they claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. And brothers and sisters, instead of trying to avoid our issues, it's better just to go ahead and confront them, because unless you confront them, you can't really deal with them. It's better to go ahead and confront your issues head on than to ignore them, because if you can't confront them, then you can't deal with them. But what will happen is your issues will begin to deal with you. Jesus didn't dodge confrontation, but He used confrontation to address root problems and primary concerns. And Jesus, He fasted 40 days. He was hungry, and the devil came and told Him, "If you're really the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." The desert was scattered with loaf-sized stones, and the devil pointed to them and told Him to prove He is who He says He is by turning these stones into bread. The bread is only a symbol of our daily provisions. The bread was sustenance for life, and surely every one of us desires and needs our daily bread for our lives. The testing, however, is when you go without, how will it affect your own faith? Jesus fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, and then it says that He was hungry, and the devil began to try to test Him to see if He really believed what He said about Himself, if He believed that He had the power of God in Him. And if you're really the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. The question is not how you behave when everything is going well. The question is, how do you handle your problems when everything seems to be going all wrong? The Israelites, they wandered in the deserts became weary by the lack of variety in their diet and desired to go back to bondage in Egypt, because though they were slaves, they didn't have to worry about where their next meal came from. And brothers and sisters, we can't get so caught up on our stomachs that we forget that God provides for the birds of the air, clothes the lilies of the valley, and we're much more valuable than they. Surely God will take care of us. We have to stop looking at what the world has to offer, no matter how good it looks, no matter how great it sounds, because God's blessing won't take from you, but they will build you up. But in the text, we look closely. We realize that Jesus was actually hungry by choice, because the text says that after He fasted, by choice, He became hungry. We've got to be honest about some things, because some of us are dealing with lack in our lives because of choices we've made, and now we have to deal with the consequences of those choices. Don't be jealous of what somebody else has when it's your own choices that cause you to be in the predicament that you're in. Don't be upset because somebody else don't come rescue you when you had the opportunity to help yourself, but you made
made some bad choices down the road. Don't talk bad about how other people spend their money, where other people go, how other people dress, what kind of cars they got, what kind of houses they live in. You really just jealous. But if truth be told, if you look back over your life, it's some choices that you made that caused you to be in the situation that you're in. Jesus, he was just hungry by choice. And some of our choices causes us to be hungry as well, because all of us got some gaps that we are hungry in. We got some psychological gaps. We got some physical gaps. Some of us got some sexual gaps. Some of us got all kinds of troubles and financial gaps. But if you turn it over to the Lord will sustain you. For the Bible says if you put him first, he'll provide for all of your needs. All covers everything. You got some needs that may not be pointed out in the Bible, but it doesn't mean that God won't provide for what you need. You got some anger issues. The Lord knows how to temper your anger. You got some procrastination issues. The Lord knows how to set your tail on fire to get the job done. There's some gaps in your life, but if you follow the Lord, he'll open up doors that no man can shut. He'll shut windows that no person can open up. He'll teach you about the gaps in your own life. But everyone is not suffering just because of poor choices. Sometimes life just happens. No matter if you do right or not, you have to deal with the hand that life has dealt you. It doesn't matter if it's because of poor choices or because of life situations. God is God of grace and mercy. He blesses us with things we couldn't earn and spares us from the punishment that we deserve. It don't matter if it's your fault. It don't matter if it's somebody else's fault. The Lord will cover the whole thing. Thank God for grace and mercy. For the truth of the matter is, none of us really deserve anything good. It's only because of God's love. Jesus, he responded to Satan with scripture. And he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus responded using scripture. But I have to ask the question, if Jesus is our model for life, where did Jesus learn scripture? He didn't just know a few verses, because he continued to respond to the temptations and testings of Satan by using scripture. Some things you aren't born knowing. Some things you can't just be baptized and then it be transmitted in the water. Some things, even being born again, won't teach you. But when Jesus was just a little boy, his mom and daddy had to teach him the word of God in their home. But not only did they teach him in the home, they also had to take him to the house of God where the word of God was being taught there too. Some things you just don't get because you claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some stuff you got to work for. And if Jesus was able to combat the schemes of the devil because he knew how to rightly divide the word of truth, you can't just touch the Bible and think that everything's going to be all right. You got to get something on the inside that when trouble comes up, the Lord can bring it back out. Jesus had to grow in wisdom and in the spirit, so do you. You can't live on the word of God if you don't know the word of God for yourself. You can't fight the devil's discouragement if you don't have the word of life deep down inside of you. Jesus used scripture as his weapon of choice and told the devil that we can't live on bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. Jesus passed the test when the devil confronted him about turning these stones into bread. He passed the test. He got over. He was able to resist the devil, but that doesn't mean that his testing time was over. Just because you passed the first test doesn't mean you won't have another test right around the corner. You don't know how many times that you can be praising the Lord one minute and get a phone call the next and all of your joy turns to tears. He passed the first test, but the devil didn't leave him. What makes you think just because the Lord delivered you this time that you don't have to keep your guard up for the schemes of the devil? Because testing time is right around the corner. The devil then took Jesus to a high point, to the temple in Jerusalem, and he said, if you're really the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. He lifted them up on the highest part of the temple and dared him that if you're really the Son of God, jump down and see if the Lord won't save you. The devil took Jesus and placed him on the top of the temple, but it gets lonely sometimes at the top. You can feel all by yourself at the top. You feel like nobody really understands when you're all alone on the top. Well, some of you may be saying right now, well, I'm not on the top, but I feel all alone like nobody really understands right down here on the bottom. Well, that too is a scheme of the devil to try and isolate you and make you feel that you're really all alone and that nobody understands. He'll even take scripture that was given for your guidance and liberation and turn it around to condemn you and enslave you. And sometimes the devil will make you question who you are because of how you feel and what you have to go through. But God doesn't have to validate who he is, for if the Lord doesn't do another thing on our behalf, God has already done enough. You just need to open up your eyes and see the salvation of the Lord and recognize what God has already done. And if the Lord delivered you then, what makes you think the Lord can't deliver you now? But what I really like is when people stand up and say, if the Lord don't do it on my behalf, I'm going to follow him anyway. For the Lord never said I won't see hard times. He said he'll just be with me until the end of time. And sometimes I don't need somebody to fix my problem. I just need somebody to stand with me in the middle of my problem and let me know that you can make it. If you try, you can find some stuff out about the Lord in your hard times. That is, the Lord can deliver you. And if the Lord delivers you, then the Lord can deliver somebody else. And God's not a respecter of person. It don't matter how young you are, little children. It don't matter how old you are, old folk. The Lord can deliver you. Jesus gave a corrective to the use of the devil's interpretation of the text, and he said, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's good to know scripture, but it's better to know how to rightly divide the scripture that you know. That's what got so many of us messed up now. It's because we've been exposed, we've accepted so much stuff that we heard, and we can't tell the truth from a lie. And then even when we can tell a truth from a lie, we don't know what to do with the truth, and we don't even know what to do with the lie. But Jesus had a good spiritual and religious foundation, steeped in scripture, steeped in tradition, steeped in his own experience to hold him during his time of loneliness. Some things you just can't jump into without first being anchored with your identity in God. You first need to set your foundation so that when you are exposed to the diversity of the worldly philosophies, you don't get blown away by every wind and doctrine. And in today's climate, everybody in social media is a journalist, an activist, a critic, a preacher, and an expert. And just because it sounds good doesn't mean that the person giving the commentary isn't twisting the truth for their own agenda. They're walking in the footsteps of the devil, but try to cloak their commentary in scripture. Not only do you need to know scripture for yourself, but you need to know God for yourself as well. Jesus, he passed the the test the second time. He made it over the second time. He was able to resist another time. But just because he passed the test doesn't mean that the testing time was over. For the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, showed him all of the kingdom of the world and all the splendor. He told Jesus, I will give you all this if you bow down and worship me. Don't get so caught up looking around at what your neighbor has, because you don't know how your neighbor got what they have and you don't know what they had to do to keep it. Don't fall for the trap of trying to keep up with the Joneses. For if you do, you may fall into despair and become discontent with what God has brought you from to where God has brought you to. Let me say it another way. You may not recognize that it was a miracle that you were doing as good as you are, and you'll think the Lord owes you something more instead of blessing him for what he's already done. Don't get so caught up looking high down at the world, wishing you had all the world has to offer, and you miss what God has already done for you. Instead of complaining about what you don't have, you should praise the Lord for what you do have, what he brought you through, because it could have been a different story, but God is the one that blessed you in spite of. Somebody said, grass isn't always green on the other side. They just may water their lawn a little longer than you. Jesus was focused because he said, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve God, not things. Serve God for what he's done, not what you want him to do. Serve God for who he is instead of who you want him to be. For the same God that led you to this desert place is the same God who can lead you out again. The scripture of Luke has this same story of the temptation of Jesus. But in Luke 4:13, it finishes and says, and after the devil had finished tempting Jesus in every possible way, the devil left him until another time. Don't think just because you're on God's side, the devil's going to leave you alone. Don't think just because you're trying to do the right thing, that thing is going to work out the way that everybody else said it should. Don't think just because you're trying to do right, that right is going to happen in return. For the devil knows how to creep in and distort and disfigure all of God's goodly things. You have to know how to trust in God, because you got to be God-like, because you ain't strong enough to be God. And if you trust in him, he will deliver you. But then in Matthew's version, it says before Satan left him, it says that Jesus said, away from me, Satan. If Satan won't leave you, then maybe you need to leave Satan. And you got to want to get out of Satan's grips. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. Some of our problem here today, it's because we pray to the Lord to take the devil out of our life, but we keep on holding on to him. We won't let Satan go. We won't let the vice go. We won't get no help. We won't acknowledge we got a problem. We pray in our private quarters, but we really need to say, get Satan away from me, and you got to let go and quit holding on. You got to do what Jesus did. You got to get something down on the inside of you. You got to know how to confront your problems. You got to know how to turn it all over to the Lord. Don't get down in despair, but trust that the same God that delivered you then can deliver you now. The same God that got you this far can get you even further. You got to do what the Lord did. He didn't have a celebration, but he fasted and turned his face to the hills, which come his help. His help comes from the Lord. And I believe in education like everybody else. I believe you got to get as much knowledge as you can. I believe you got to try your best to better yourself. But if you got a head full of knowledge, a pocket full of money, and you don't have the Lord on your side, how are you going to sustain your life when trouble comes and trouble is knocking right around the corner? But you don't have to fear if you got the Lord on your side, and he already done enough to show you that he will deliver you, that he can take care of you. Don't fear, don't fret. The Lord will take care of you. If you trust him, he can do it. The devil try to make you think that you're not God's child, that he doesn't love you. There's nothing that he can forgive you for. But those are just the schemes of the devil. God is not scared of your problems. God is not confused about what you've been through. As the preacher the other day said, he knew you when he called you, and he hadn't forgot who you were. But the Lord knows who you can be if you just trust in him. We open up an invitation to the church today for one to put their trust in the Lord. None of us are perfect. We're attempting to be like Christ, but we got to remember we're not Christ. We need to lean and depend on him. This is my message to you today. As we're led in this song, let us stand together. The Bible says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But don't think you just get baptized and walk away from the Lord and everything is going to be all right. You got to stay with God and walk with the Lord. He'll begin to change you from the inside out if you come to him with a sincere heart. The Lord will do it for you. He'll do it for you. This is your invitation.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come?
This is your invitation. The Lord
and
is
why
calling you. He's calling.
Should my heart
still
for
time.
My heaven and home, since Jesus, he is my portion, a watches me.
Yes.
I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. No!
his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over me. Amen.